My friends, Jesus Christ directly describes a coming great tribulation to occur just before his return to this earth as King of Kings. He instructed his followers to flee to safety. Christ said that. He tells them to flee to safety just before the tribulation begins. Notice Jesus' inspired prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. Go get your Bible if you have one. Follow me. Check up on me. Please check up on everyone. Don't believe me. You believe what you see in the pages of your Bible. And this book is a lot more interesting than many of you have realized. Exciting things are ahead. Notice what God says. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 3, in what is called the Olivet Prophecy. Because Jesus here was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And as you'll notice, he describes false prophets coming. He tells us then there'll be wars, and then world wars, whole groups of nations. And then he says in chapter 24 here and verse 7, nation will rise against nation, kingdom, meaning a groups of nations, against kingdom, and there will be famines, terrible lack of food, drought, pestilence, earthquakes to come. Tremendous things are going to happen. Terrible famines, pestilences, which is disease epidemics, and earthquakes. Luke's account says great earthquakes. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then he says down near the end here of this passage, in verse 20, he says, pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. There's a tribulation coming. Pray that you do not have to flee on the Sabbath. Why did he say that? For then will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world of this time, nor ever shall be. The greatest time of trouble in the history of the earth. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. All human beings would be blotted off this earth. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. My friends, not until recently has mankind possessed the weapons of mass destruction to bring about cosmicide, the utter destruction of all life. But now we have atomic bombs to annihilate entire cities. Now we have nerve gases and biological weapons to annihilate entire nations. These would bring about cosmicide if the great God did not intervene. But note carefully that Jesus told his disciples to pray that they would not have to flee on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was to be observed at the time of the end, just before the tribulation. Jesus certainly indicated that directly. Isn't the Sabbath just for the Jews? No way! Jesus Christ does not have different standards for different people. His true followers will always be keeping the same way of life. Your Bible says in chapter 4 of Ephesians, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Nothing in all the Bible ever suggests that God allows different standards, different ways to keep his commandments or serve him. That would make God a respecter of persons. God does not do that. That would create chaos. Notice what Jesus Christ actually taught. Turn and see what your Bible tells you about the Christ of the Bible, the true Christ that most people do not understand, do not really know, are not really acquainted with. Turn to Mark and learn to check up these things in your own Bible. Mark chapter 2 and beginning in verse 23. It happened that Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And I think we all know what that Sabbath was. If any of you read the Bible or history, you know that was what we call Saturday, Friday night sunset to Saturday night sunset, we'd say today, because God began and ended the days at the setting of the sun, not in the middle of the night by a clock. They didn't have a lot of clocks back then. They used the setting of the sun to end the day. And so Christ here was going through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? What do you mean? Well, they were breaking some of the traditions of the Pharisees, not God's law. God didn't say you can't pluck some grain. So Jesus explained, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry and those with him? and how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful. It was not according to breaking God's Ten Commandments, but it was part of their tradition, not lawful to eat except for the priests. And so he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Who was the Sabbath made for? Was it made for the Jew? Jesus Christ said the Sabbath was made for man, for mankind. And notice verse 28, therefore the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That's the day he's Lord of. He has always kept the seventh-day Sabbath. Jesus kept that continually through his life. He never talked about any other day. He didn't say worship on the day of the sun. He kept the Sabbath. His disciples kept the Sabbath. The early New Testament church kept the Sabbath continually all the way through the book of Acts. At this point, my friends, I want to offer you absolutely free a truly powerful booklet entitled, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? This booklet spells out with biblical and historical proof how vital this matter is. Which day is the Christian Sabbath? Will be sent to you absolutely free upon your request. This booklet will open your eyes to the inspired example of Jesus Christ and the early New Testament church. It has proof after proof here from your Bible and from history. The scholars know. They know which day the early church of God kept before it began to be paganized. So call or write today and request your free copy of this absolutely vital booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? Just ask for the booklet on the Sabbath. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, my friends. Which day is the Christian Sabbath? Which day should God's people actually keep? What is the commandment of God, the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments? Turn again to Mark 2. Chapter 2 and verse 27 in your Bible. Again, check up on me. See what the Bible actually says. So many of you feel, I know, that you should obey the Bible. You say you want to follow the Bible and you want to get back to true Christianity. What is true Christianity? What was the original Christianity? A lot of it has to do with this very point and many other similar points that we'll be pointing out on this program and in the Tomorrow's World magazine. Turn again to Mark 2 and verse 27. Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Man wasn't made to serve the Sabbath. The Jews had added about 66 do's and don'ts to the Sabbath. Jesus showed you don't have to do all those, but you do need to keep the Sabbath. Not the day of the sun that came along many years later, but God's Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That's the true Lord's Day as far as some day of the week. It's the Sabbath day, the day God made. And notice he said the Sabbath was made for man. When was the Sabbath made? Well, let's turn back and see when the Sabbath was made. Frankly, the Sabbath was made for man and was made when man was made. So you turn back to Genesis 1 and you see how the God recreated the earth as it actually is, put man and woman on the earth. And then it says in chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 2, the seventh day, not just any day of the week. It's a very special time to God. God ended or completed his work, which he had done. and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. He put his special presence in that particular day, not just in any day. His presence is in the seventh day. He set it apart as holy time. People today go out on Sunday and play ball games or watch ball games and all kinds of movies and entertainment because they know it's not some command of God. They just do what they want to. The Sabbath was and is a command of God. It's going to be observed in tomorrow's world, as you read back in Isaiah 66. They'll be keeping the Sabbath day in tomorrow's world after Christ comes back. They won't be keeping some other day. They'll be keeping the day God made holy. He set it apart and made it holy time, and so he rested from all his work which he had created and made. Notice now the wording of the fourth commandment. You want to keep the Ten Commandments? Many of you feel that you should. Well, here they are. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 19 shows the power of the great God, and he shook Mount Sinai and thundered and lightning and revealed the power of the Creator God. And then it says in chapter 20, verse 1, God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. And then he said, you're not to make any image and worship that. You're not to take God's name in vain. Verse 8, here's God's command. Verse 8, Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember, oh, it's something already in existence because God had made it from the beginning. Remember the Sabbath day to keep. God has made it holy. He says, keep it holy. You can't keep cold water hot. You've got to make it hot. But the Sabbath was already holy, and God commands us to keep it holy, not to reinvent our own Sabbath, as some worship on Friday, some worship on Sunday. I've heard of various people worshiping on other days of the week. No, it's a special day of worship that's set apart. It's the seventh day. It's holy time. God says, keep it holy. 6 days you shall work and do all your labor, but the seventh day, not just any day, look at your calendar. The last day of the week is the seventh day, the Sabbath. Friday evening sunset to Saturday evening sunset. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And in it you're not to do any work, your son, daughter, handmaid, stranger. For in 6 days, notice, the Eternal made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. You see, that points to him as the Creator who rested. The true God, not the idols, not the ideas of men, the Creator God, whom very few people know, it points to him. And he rested the seventh day. Therefore, God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. All through the Old and New Testament, you find God's servants always worshiping on the seventh day Sabbath. Our booklet fully explains and documents this point. Notice this powerful acknowledgement by the highest Roman Catholic cardinal in the United States of his time. In his famous book, Faith of Our Fathers, James Cardinal Gibbon writes the following, and I quote, "You may read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and not find a single line authorizing the sanctification of Sunday." That's what this cardinal says. God doesn't talk about Sunday in the Bible. Look it up. You can't find it there. Continuing his quote, "The scriptures enforce the religious observance of Saturday, a day we," this Catholic cardinal says, "we never sanctify," end quote. Cardinal Gibbon went on to show that he felt the Roman Catholic Church had the authority to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. And in an even more recent Roman Catholic study course, speaking of the Sabbath, they write, quote, "The Church transferred the obligation from Saturday to Sunday." So perhaps unwittingly, the Protestant churches are going right along with Mother Rome and her presumption that she had the power to change God's law. Wow! Does the truth begin to dawn on you, my friends? Please think about it. Pray about it with an open mind. Again, be sure to call or write us and request your free copy of this really powerful, fully documented book, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? This booklet is filled with historical and biblical proof about the true Sabbath of Almighty God and what it actually means. Yet this booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath, will be sent absolutely free. So call or write today and request your free copy. Just ask for the booklet on the Sabbath.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, let's consider what true Christianity is really all about. It involves much more than just giving your heart to the Lord, some idea of what you think the Lord is. It involves much more than all these human ideas about Jesus, many of which are not found in the Bible at all. For Jesus Christ himself said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Look it up. Luke 6, 46. Christ is not your Lord unless you do what he says. Lord means boss. Lord means master. Notice what Christ taught us, my friends, in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Or as the Greek literally means, to fill to the full. He set that perfect example. He showed us the way. He was the light. "For assuredly I say, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law." No, it was not to be nailed to the cross. It was not to be done away. Not one crossing of a T or dotting of an I was to be done away till all is fulfilled. "Whoever therefore breaks one," future tense, "breaks in the future one of the least of these commandments," plural, all ten of them. And through this whole passage, if you read Matthew 5, he talks about murder. He talks in chapter 20, verses 27 and 8 about adultery and divorce and remarriage. He's talking about the Ten Commandments very clearly all through this. This is what he's saying. And so he does say here that whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But notice, whoever does and teaches them, even the least of the commandments, shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Wow, you're to keep God's law. God makes that very clear. Notice, Jack, in chapter 7 here, again, the winding up, the latter part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You've got to go way beyond just empty faith. You've got to do what God says to be a real Christian and to have his protection in the terrible years ahead. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in your name?" We've been preaching in your name, they'll tell him. "And we've cast out demons," the demons of superstition and ignorance, they call it. Many of the preachers today have no idea about real demons, so they invent ideas of demons. "And done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you." He'll tell these people, he says, "I never was acquainted with you. I didn't know you fellas. You didn't know me. You didn't obey me. You didn't do what this book says. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what?" In the New King James Version, it's correct. Look it up in the Greek. Look it up in commentaries. The Greek word here is anomos, meaning against law. He says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And again, my friends, he's not talking about the traffic laws. They had horses and oxen back there. They didn't have a lot of traffic. He's talking about God's law. Notice Jesus' example. Christ was the light God sent into the world. He showed us how to live. How did he live? Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Follow me in your Bible. Verse 15. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Jesus always kept the Sabbath. Paul always kept the Sabbath. If you go carefully through the book of Acts and look it up, you'll find that. In Hebrews chapter 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He kept God's laws. He will keep God's laws in you today, including the true Sabbath day, if he lives his life in you, my friends, through the Holy Spirit. Notice Revelation 14, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Now, these are not these saints you see idols of here and there, so-called saints. These are the saints of God he's describing. Here are those who keep the commandments, plural, of God and the faith of Jesus. Not just faith in Jesus, but the very faith of Jesus, to know God, to trust God, to obey God. My friends, God is preparing real saints to be kings and priests to assist Jesus Christ in ruling this entire earth. Notice now in Revelation chapter 1. And he has made us, verse 6, kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever. He has made us in his purpose kings and priests. He wants us to learn to carry out his government, to learn to obey his laws and ways now, so we can teach and administer that very way in tomorrow's world. Notice chapter 5 now, Revelation chapter 5, and beginning in verse 9. He's talking here about the song of the saints, the prayer of the saints. And they sang a song saying, you're worthy to take the scrolls, to open its seals, for you were slain, Christ was slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood, the blood of Christ, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us, and his plan, God has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign, not up in heaven, we shall reign, straighten out this whole earth, on the earth. That's where the problems are. That's where the kingdom of God is going to be set up soon, when Christ returns as King of Kings. So the true saints of God are not those who follow the pagan customs of men, who follow the ancient ideas of the sun god or all these other days they've come up with. The saints of God are the ones who genuinely surrender to let the living Christ live in them, to obey God's commandments, to yield to him and surrender to him. And they will soon be teaching and practicing, of course, and administering that way of life in tomorrow's world. True Christianity, my friends, goes far beyond an emotional acceptance of a non-biblical Christ and a non-biblical way of life. Please understand, again, true Christianity is explained most succinctly in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where the Apostle Paul wrote, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It's not the old self anymore. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live with the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you personally want to be in the soon coming kingdom of God to be set up here on this earth? Then surrender your life to the real Christ of the Bible as your Lord, your Savior, your living high priest whom you obey. You've got to learn to have that Christ live his life in you. Not some other Christ, but the Christ that's revealed in the pages of your Bible. Paul warned the Corinthians about another faith, another Jesus, another spirit. Learn to find the Christ of the Bible, the true Christ, not Christs or ideas that men have come up with, but the Christ of the Bible, and surrender to that Christ to let him live his life in you, an obedient life, as Jesus did. Live his life in you through the Holy Spirit. The decision my friends, is yours. Learn to build and ask God for the understanding, the faith, and the courage to obey your Creator, your God. Again, to fully understand this absolutely paramount topic and be able to prove it from your own Bible, and you can sure do that, write us or call us immediately. Call right now and request our vital booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath? This attractive, fully documented booklet, Which Day is the Christian Sabbath, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. This booklet will open your eyes to understand and to fellowship with the true God of creation. And then you will have His special blessing and His divine protection in the tumultuous years just ahead. So call right now before you forget it. Just ask for the booklet on the Sabbath. And tune in every week, my friends, to Tomorrow's World program. On this program, you will gain precious information, vital information, and insights available nowhere else on earth. Richard Ames and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. To view today's program, order the free literature offered, or for more information on today's vital subject, visit us online at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.